Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
Have you seen The West Wing? You're listening to a political podcast, so I'm going to assume yes. But here's a deep cut.
You get a chance to look at the ethanol speech on the plane?
Yeah, it seems fine. Who else is speaking?
Well, Helen's not wrong about ethanol.
Oh, please, come on.
Remember that. That's from an episode in one of the last seasons.
Now, I'm not saying this just because I'm in Iowa. I say this everywhere I go. We need more ethanol production.
Ethanol subsidies are not going to be a part of my agriculture policy.
That episode is called King Corn, which is funny because it's also how some people refer to the West Wing. But anyways, one of the reasons why corn and ethanol made it to the show is because in real life, like on the West Wing...
Now, I know that the ethanol subsidies have been good for some of them.
I want to tell you, she worked very hard on ethanol along with Senator Grassley and...
Ethanol is good for our economy, good for our environment, and should be at the heart of our...
Ethanol is a huge, huge political issue. And I know it may not be the most exciting, but bear with us.
Most of the corn used in the United States is actually used for ethanol more than like food. And this ethanol that's produced, the government says it has to be blended into our fuel, into our gasoline. But because when you blend in ethanol into gasoline, you're putting a cost on refineries, they don't really want to have to use it, and they try to get away with putting as little as they can under the law. So that's kind of like the debate, right? Like how much biofuel should be blended into gasoline?
Yeah. So when I took on this beat at Politico, many, many sources that I talked to when I was starting to ask about it would joke like, how did you draw the short straw on this? Like it's just a very complicated issue that is very important. It doesn't really fall along, you know, Republican versus Democrats. Broadly speaking, the Renewable Fuel Standard is a program that dates back to 2005, and it, as you were saying, requires refiners to blend biofuels into the nation's fuel supply based on these yearly mandated levels that EPA is required to set. I'm Kelsey Tamburino. This is Politico Energy, and today, I talked to producer Carlos Prieto about biofuels and the tightrope the Biden administration is on to try to keep corn producers and oil refiners happy. It's Wednesday, August 25th.
So you were talking about the mandates that the EPA sets out every year. What kind of parameters does the EPA take into consideration when they set up this amount?
Yeah, so in terms of what we're talking about this week, EPA is looking at the 2021 and 2022 volumes. And so obviously 2021, we're 8 months into that already. So now we're waiting to see what the administration will do here. But there is some consideration that refiners are hoping EPA makes here to consider the pandemic and the effect it's had on reduced fuel demand, basically calling on the administration to align those levels to the actual production levels that we're seeing and to take in consideration the effect the pandemic has had.
Right, which would in turn upset corn producers.
Mm-hmm.
When the pandemic kind of broke out last March, what did the Trump administration do? Did they drop the mandate at the time?
So the Trump administration in 2020 missed its deadline to set the volumes for the next year for 2021. So that ultimately kicked the decision to the Biden administration, which earlier this year in March did give refiners more time to meet their blending requirement deadlines. In doing that, refiners said that they had hoped that this would mean EPA would now carefully reconsider the RFS program and set 2021 standards that they could reasonably achieve in light of the effects of the pandemic on fuel demand.
And so now that, you know, we've had vaccines and things kind of reopened before the Delta variant really kicked in, was there a plan to bring it back up now that probably gasoline demand was going up again?
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're watching for this week. So EPA is basically preparing to send its proposals for the biofuel blending targets that we're talking about for 2021 and 2022 to the White House for review. So this is the final step, basically, before those proposals are made public and we'll actually know the details of what the administration would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're hearing, and I would just caution that this is very much a moving target and the specifics aren't known and they could definitely change, but we're hearing that the administration is likely going to set those blending targets for 2021 below the 2020 levels. And then the proposed 2022 volumes are likely to be higher than 2021 and 2020.
So noting that things can change and it's still very much in flux, why are they considering cutting 1 year and then going back up the next? Is this kind of like, oh, we know 2021 is hurt by the pandemic, but hopefully 2022 won't be the case, or be less so, and the financial hardship that refiners and I guess farmers are facing are going to be less so next year?
I think, you know, what I've been hearing is it's really the administration kind of taking into consideration the fact that we're already, you know, very far into the year and just aligning with the levels that we're seeing. But what the administration decides to do here and if it changes is definitely an issue that will be closely watched. And it's not clear really yet if the administration were to cut the levels for 2021, to what extent they would cut them, and if that would be enough to kind of appease oil refiners who are calling for those cuts. You know, we don't know if it would be significant enough to align with what they're calling for.
You know, the Biden administration has a huge push for clean energies and net zero emissions and all these things. Do they still see biofuels as part of the equation here?
Yeah, I mean, I think they say they do. And we'll see what extent they do through these proposals and some of the other upcoming decisions the administration will have to make regarding the renewable fuel standard. But, you know, Chuck Grassley recently spoke out about this in the reports about what EPA is planning and basically said if those are true, then, you know, this would be a gift to big oil, which I think you can imagine a world in which, should the administration move to favor refiners in this regard, that you could see a tax forming about how the administration, you know, at the same time is giving refiners what they want while it's also pushing to move away from fossil fuels. Also, later today, some of the country's top companies in tech, finance, and energy are set to attend a big cybersecurity meeting at the White House. The summit follows an uptick in cybersecurity attacks that have targeted American intelligence agencies, essential energy infrastructure, and other attacks on the private sector. The top bosses at companies like Amazon, Apple, Duke Energy, PG&E, and ConocoPhillips are all expected to be there to discuss public and private alliances to improve America's cybersecurity. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Kelsey Tamburino, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.